Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. It was just weeks ago when Americans were cheering one of their own, Floyd Landis, for winning the Tour de France, keeping that great prize, the biggest prize in the cycling world, in American hands after seven repeat performances by American Lance Armstrong. Dogging Lance Armstrong for years have been reports that he had been using some kind of medication, chemicals, hormones or something very similar to testosterone to assist him. But those allegations were never proved, and Lance Armstrong continues to hold seven titles of the Tour de France. But Floyd Landis made an amazing comeback in the 17th segment of the race, this year's race, and that was the race that went through the most arduous mountainous terrain. And now there are not only allegations, but there are official charges that he used testosterone supplements in order to aid him in that race. Now, this raises a host of questions. Of course, in the sporting world, this is just like the Barry Bonds situation and all the rest. What do you do? Do you take the record? Do you put an asterisk beside it? Do you take the title away? That's what the officials of the Tour de France appear poised to do. Official hearings are scheduled for weeks ahead. Mr. Landis is complaining that he has not been able to give his side of the story. His critics say he's given too many sides to the story. We're going to talk about this issue at a different level today on this radio program. We're going to be looking at what this says to us about heroism and virtue. I'm going to make the argument that the Christian worldview requires that excellence and virtue be held together, that character and achievement have to be held in tandem in order for one to be honored. And when it comes to something like sports, I know I am sports impaired. I do not have a great appreciation for a lot of what other people enjoy about sports. I'm not sure why I should admire someone because he can ride a bicycle faster than other people. A bicycle is a great thing, but just riding it faster than anyone else, I'm not sure is a great moral achievement. But let's assume for a moment that it is. What happens to that great moral achievement when scientific and medical studies may prove that it was artificially enhanced? This raises the issue of what is normal. To what degree should we, are we using some kind of enhancing medications or enhancing technologies in order to redefine what it means to be human? Do we just take the record books and expand them out? Are we now faster than the Greeks in the original Olympics? Maybe so. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. As I said, I'm sports impaired. So when we're going to talk about this, I'm going to do my very best to put this in a Christian worldview perspective. But I have a very special guest, and that's Mr. Sportsman, my dear friend C.J. Mahaney of Sovereign Grace Ministries, a founding pastor of the Covenant Life Church in Gaithersburg, Maryland. He is one of my closest friends, and he is a sports fan. He's also a man deeply committed to Christian truth and the Christian gospel, and he will help us to put this in perspective. And if you've heard CJ before, you know we're going to have a lively conversation. Stay tuned. That in the segment coming up. If you want to join the conversation, get in line by calling 877-893-8255. Does it matter if Floyd Landis took enhancing drugs like epitestosterone or testosterone? Does it matter that he might lose the title of the Tour de France? And what are we admiring anyway? First, a review of some issues in the news. The San Francisco Chronicle is out with a newspaper report today that an embryo bank, the world's first human embryo bank, has opened in Texas. It's opened by Jenna Lee Ryan, an entrepreneur in Texas who now promises to give parents custom-made embryos. She claims a bank of male and female gamete donors and suggests that those who want a child can actually look at the baby photographs and adult photographs of these would-be donors and decide which sperm and which eggs they want to purchase in order to combine in an embryo. Now, Ms. Ryan also offers surrogate motherhood services, so you can literally order up a baby. And eventually, whether by internet or by other means, prospective parents can simply come on and say, I want that gamete, I want that gamete in order to produce this kind of baby, and I want someone else to carry it, so just call me when my order is in. You know, it's one thing to talk about enhancing medications and technologies, human enhancement technologies. It's another thing to talk about redefining what it means to be human in the first place by ordering humans custom made. Now, I find something very interesting in the San Francisco Chronicle article. Here you have Art Kaplan, who is director of the Center for Bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania. He's kind of the go-to bioethicist for the mainstream media. And what I find particularly interesting is that Dr. Kaplan is outraged by this. He's outraged by what he calls kind of a wild, wild west of assisted reproduction. Mr. Kaplan says this is entirely out of line. Let me listen to what he says here. He says that this is basically a mom-and-pop entrepreneur that Ms. Ryan is running there, an entrepreneurial experiment in terms of a donor bank. But he comes on and he says this will be followed by much larger, more highly commercialized, more substantial efforts. He says there will be bigger fish swimming in this sea very soon. The demand is there, he says. The behavior of people selling sperm and eggs is wild enough. There's no reason to think this isn't the natural next step in making babies, embryos to order. Now, here's my question. Why would Dr. Arthur Kaplan be upset about this? Because he represents a branch of bioethics that makes a clear distinction between the embryo and the baby. That's pretty hard to hold when you get to what he had to say in this article. Let me listen to this. Let me let you hear what he had to say. He said, how do we get to the point where you go to jail if you go up to someone on the street and say, do you want to buy my child for $10,000? You think that we're barbaric, immoral, heinous people. But if they came down the street and say, hey, here's an internet site. Do you want to buy an egg, sperm, and surrogate mother? We think they're just entrepreneurs. What's going on here? End quote. Well, what's going on here, Dr. Kaplan, is the natural extension of the kind of human redefinition that's been going on for some time. Now, I appreciate the fact that Dr. Kaplan is upset with the idea of an embryo bank. I'm very appreciative, as a matter of fact, that he sees the inherent immorality of custom-made human beings. What I don't understand is why he makes the link in this article between the selling of a child and the selling of an embryo without making the connection that is, for instance, so relevant in embryonic stem cell research between destroying a child and destroying a human embryo. There is a lot going on here when it comes to the establishment of something like an embryo bank. First of all, there's the fact that technology has now allowed us to come to the place where this is possible. The effectiveness rates of in vitro fertilization and custom-made embryos, laboratory-derived embryos, has now reached the point that the success rate may be as much as 70%. That is a vast improvement over even fairly recent history. Now it may be a commercial project. Skipping from embryos made to order, let me talk about dads-to-be. The Washington Times is out with a story today suggesting that Dad Labs, a new business, is the wave of the future, training dads how to be dads. According to the Washington Times, Dad Labs Incorporated was founded to help men provide them with the proper resources, tools, and information required when it comes to tasks such as changing diapers. Quote, there isn't a generation of men before us who has advice on the issue of parenting, said Mr. Nichols, chief executive director of Dad Labs, because there isn't generational wisdom, we're trying to fill that gap, end quote. Well, here's my question. Why isn't there generational wisdom? You know, this is one of those articles that, if faced honestly, requires this question. How did human beings reach this point if we are this stupid? If dads know so little about this, how is it that any of us actually got here? Of course there is generational wisdom. You know, this is one of those, well, it's a little cultural indicator that a society that is so confused about gender roles and the roles of moms and dads and all the rest, and a society of so many single parent homes where there's so many dads absent has produced a generation of boys and young men who aren't sure what dads do, and they're going to have to go to school to find out what dads do. Here is the point. If you marginalize fatherhood, and if you remove dad from the home, then you're going to raise young men who don't know what dads do. Not just changing diapers, but for that matter, just about anything else. And we should see it as highly significant that that this is now something that, again, has been commercialized. You're going to send your husband, your son, to Dad Lab in order to find out how to change a diaper? That ought to be an interesting lab to watch. Meanwhile, Stephanie Mansfield, also in the Washington Times, is suggesting that Cubans have no idea whether dictator Fidel Castro is lying at death's door or sitting up and watching reruns of Jeopardy. It is very interesting to notice that one of the world's last totalitarian dictators has not been seen since he supposedly temporarily relinquished power to his brother Raul, who, by the way, also has not been seen. Folks, one more reminder of the difference between an open and a closed society. And one more reminder that totalitarian dictatorships don't last. They are oppressive and evil and murderous, but over the course of history, they don't last. Because you just can't hold on to power by refusing to die. We'll be right back to talk about sports, ethics, honor, integrity, and the doping scandal. This is the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. American Floyd Landis stunned the cycling world, coming back in the 17th segment of the Tour de France to take a commanding lead and then to take the race, keeping the title of the biggest prize in world cycling in American hands. After seven successive wins by Lance Armstrong, along comes Texas-born Floyd Landis. And, of course, Americans were elated, even as the cycling community was somewhat surprised. And, of course, the Europeans were disappointed, and American gets it again. But even as there have been rumors for years about Lance Armstrong and other cyclists, there is more than a rumor attached now to Floyd Landis. There are official charges based upon two tests from the 17th segment, two blood tests, indicating that given the levels of epitestosterone in his system, it was clear that some form of additional testosterone was in his body, some additional supplemental testosterone forbidden. Now, there are all kinds of technicalities here. Let's just say, however, that the ratio of these testosterone levels is supposed to be 1-to-1. The limit, acceptable limit, is 4-to-1. He was up at about 11-to-1. And so it looks like, so far as the cycling and medical worlds are convinced, this is a slam dunk case. Mr. Landis says he has not been able to make his case, to make his response. A hearing is upcoming. But there seems to be a sense in the cycling community that his goose is cooked when it comes to the Tour de France title. Now, you know me. If you listen to this program, I am coming at this as best I can from a Christian worldview perspective. We're going to ask the big questions. How should we understand this? What about honor and integrity in sports? What about achievement and character? How does all that go together? But when it comes to sports, I got to get help. Because I got to tell you, this is just not the area of expertise that I would claim for one moment. But I know who to go to, and that is C.J. Mahaney, my dear friend, the founder and founding pastor of Covenant Life Church there in Gaithersburg, Maryland. What a great church. And a Sovereign Grace Ministries that he now leads. My colleague in Together for the Gospel. C.J., welcome to the program.
Thank you, my friend. What an honor it is to be your go-to guy on the topic of sports.
Well, I don't mean any insult by this, but for me to find someone who knows more than I know, CJ, I could look almost anywhere. But I go to you because you're not only my go-to guy, you actually know what you're talking about. And you're passionate about sports. Of course, your greater passion is for the glory of God. But, you know, I love you for the total package, and that includes the fact that you see things in sports, CJ, that I don't see. I'll just admit that right up front.
Well, that is kind of you, but you really can't convince me that this wouldn't be a better show if I were to interview you, my friend. And actually, as a service to your listeners, can I ask for permission from the outset to ask you questions, respectfully ask you questions?
Absolutely, CJ.
Into this topic. Yes, you are right. In relation to sports, you are largely ignorant. But as to discernment in relation to sports, you are a wealth of insight, and I want your listeners to benefit from that. I'm here as an advocate for them.
Well, you be the advocate, and I'll try to come up with discernment where otherwise I would be left with ignorance. But let's turn to Floyd Landis for a moment. Let's just assume for a moment that he didn't use any kind of illicit substance, that he just honestly and with absolute scrupulous adherence to the rules won this race. Should we admire him?
Yes, we should admire him if indeed he is not guilty, but why would we assume that, Al, in light of these two definitive tests?
Well, I'm not actually assuming it. I'm just assuming it for the course of making a point.
And
that point is, and this is kind of behind the scenes. This is like I'm talking to my producer now, CJ. What I want to do now is allow you to say that there really is something to athletic achievement.
There is something to athletic achievement.
Yeah, and so there is something to admire in someone, and I want you to give us some reasons why. I mean, is it the strategy, the preparation, the endurance, the strength, the character? You know, before we get to drugs, why should we admire athletes for breaking a world record or winning a race?
Well, I think there is an exaggerated admiration for athletes today, so I would want to say that from the outset, and I am not identifying with that or in any way supporting that. But I think there is legitimacy to admiring someone for the combination of character and gifting that is revealed in a particular athletic achievement, as long as we distinguish between character and gifting and primarily celebrate character and not gifting.
And the character in this case, for instance, in the Greek ideal of athletics, is that it takes dedication, single-minded pursuit. It takes the investment of heart and mind and body to create a winning athlete. That's what's behind this, right?
Absolutely. There is much to admire about someone who is involved in discipline in private. So much of what these athletes are involved in on a daily basis takes place out of public view and away from public applause. And so we can study their character, their discipline, their determination, their perseverance, their endurance, and it is worthy of both admiration and emulation.
Well, I think that's very well said. And I think, you know, even as someone who's not a great fan of sports, I am amazed at what some people can do. And I'm amazed at the single-minded dedication to this kind of task. You know,
yes.
The average Olympic gymnast is a little girl who began now, I am told, when she was three, preparing mm-hmm. to be a gymnast. Tiger Woods, you know, beginning to play golf when he was barely able to walk. There's just a lot there that has to do with that kind of dedication, which, by the way, you know, to use the logic of our friend in the faith, the great reformer Martin Luther, ought to remind us that if someone could be that single-minded about running a race,
right,
it ought to remind us how single-minded we ought to be about loving our Creator.
Yes, absolutely.
So let's assume that all that can help point us to it. Now let's go to today, CJ, and let's go to exactly the point you made. With these two tests, it looks pretty conclusive that Floyd Landis broke the rules, took enhancing drugs and some form of testosterone, and without doubt, that appears to be what contributed to this spectacular come-from-behind leap in the 17th segment of the Tour de France. Now, if he broke the rules and he took these enhancing drugs, should we admire him?
Well, I don't think we should admire him for this. I think that across the country today, conversations are taking place about Mr. Landis and about these tests. And too often what characterizes these conversations is an absence of a biblical worldview. And I think we as Christians have an opportunity to seize this conversation and to inform it with a biblical worldview, even as a means ultimately of evangelism. So I love what you are providing today. I love what you are provoking today. I love the application of a biblical worldview to what has taken place, not only with Floyd Landis, but Justin Gatlin, Barry Bonds. Unfortunately, the illustrations are many. I think our challenge, though, is to make sure that any conversation we are participating in, we are communicating with a humility. My concern with any communication on this particular topic is that I not participate self-righteously, as if somehow I am morally superior to Floyd Landis in and of myself. I think it's appropriate to critique him, but I want to do so while avoiding self-righteousness. He is not the worst sinner I know. I am the worst sinner I know. William Law wrote that we may justly condemn ourselves as the greatest sinners we know because we know more of our own sin, more of the own folly of our hearts than we do of anyone else's. So
absolutely.
I would want the conversation to be informed by a humble attitude. But with a humble attitude, we must address the lack of integrity revealed in these tests.
And I think we bear, as Christians, a particular responsibility to say why this matters, whether it's Barry Bonds or Floyd Landis, why it matters if you do cheat, if you do break the rules, because there are a lot of people in America today who aren't sure why that's wrong. We're going to come back and talk about why, from the Christian perspective, honor and integrity and achievement have to be part of the same thing. Character and achievement, virtue and excellence have to come together, or the excellence is really hollow. The phone number is 877-893-8255. Does it matter if Floyd Landis took the drugs? What about the title? What about the truth? We'll come right back. Coast to Coast, this is the Albert Mueller Program.
listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back, folks. This is an issue that's not going to go away because it's not just about the Tour de France and Floyd Landis. It's about Major League Baseball. It's about Barry Bonds. It's about other sports. It's about track and field. You just go at it and start looking at the sports pages. The sports pages have become like court reports. Furthermore, they're kind of like pathology tests. You know, who has what level of what in their blood? This is scary stuff when you start to think about the fact that that young people, especially, and beyond that, millions of people in the world look to athletes as primary models of what they want to be and of what this culture admires. And that's not all bad. But when you look at some of the persons who've been the subjects of such admiration and then you see what's going on in terms of their lack of character, that really raises some basic issues for the Christian conscience. With me today is my very special guest, is C.J. Mahaney of Sovereign Grace Ministries, founding pastor of Covenant Life Church in Gaithersburg, Maryland, and my go-to guy when it comes to sports. C.J., let's listen for just a minute to a conversation that Floyd Landis had with Matt Lauer on the Today Show just yesterday. And it's going to take just about a minute because we're going to listen to all three of these clips just in order for us to hear him say he didn't do it and then to talk about what it might mean if he did.
Floyd, did you cheat to win the Tour de France?
No, Matt, I did not.
Then why do these test results seem to point in that direction, Floyd?
We don't know, and that's why we have experts working on that, and I have some people in my defense who are going to do their best to figure out what happened here.
As someone watching and looking on, it's very easy to say, well, clearly he must have done something in the night between those two races, perhaps doped up, to get that different result. How would you answer that?
Well, I will tell you that what you saw in the Tour de France was a result of 15 years of hard work.
What do you say, Floyd, to the 12-year-old boy or girl who watched you win the Tour and said to their mom, I want to be just like Floyd Landis, and now has to listen to their mom or the headline scream that perhaps Floyd Landis cheated to win the Tour?
I personally hope that that 12-year-old boy watches how I deal with these false accusations, and when I'm finished with this, I hope he says the same thing.
Now, folks, one of the points that I feel I have to make, and I'm going to make this with the accountability of having my friend C.J. Mahaney on the line here, so I'm going to say this knowing that there is someone on the line who may disagree with me, whom I greatly respect. I just don't think that in the end of the day, sports and athletic achievement is going to amount to all that much in terms of building the culture and raising families and doing things that will matter long term. And from a Christian worldview perspective, I just have to wonder at all of the energy and excitement and devotion and enthusiasm that goes into sports that ought to be directed at more worthwhile ends. But at the same time, I'm going to say sports is a very interesting metaphor. Even in the scripture, it serves as a parable, as a pointer to greater things. The Apostle Paul uses the metaphor of a race at many points, even speaking of the one who would preach and teach the word of God as one who must finish a race and must prepare for a race and the endurance that it takes and all the rest. So sports is a part. Athletic achievement, physical achievement is a part of human life. But when it gets to the point that it is such a monocular, maniacal focus, aided and abetted by commercial and financial interests, that cheating starts to make sense, I think we're in big trouble. C.J., do you agree with that?
I do agree with that, Al. Yes. Yep, I agree. I think when we listen to the statements by Floyd Landis, I think we should all be saddened. We should be sobered, even frightened, as we discern the effects of sin, the deceitfulness of sin, and really one can only hope that there is someone in his entourage who can say to him that these statements are lame and no one is in any way buying into them. I mean, I read the other day where he said, I'm sure there's some sincerity in this statement, how much he loves the sport of cycling. And I would say to him that not only are these statements lame, but if you really love the sport of cycling, the best thing you can do for the sport of cycling is to be honest and humble yourself in relation to these allegations.
Now, I'm going to ask C.J. Mahaney, my dear friend, to do something that he is not at this moment prepared to do. I'm going to give him this break to make his preparation. I'm going to ask C.J. to give the speech that Floyd Landis should have given when the reports came back confirming that he had taken these drugs. How should a man respond to this situation? We heard what Floyd Landis said to Matt Lauer. CJ said he should have said something else. I'm going to ask CJ, what should he have said? To join the conversation, to talk about whether this matters or not, are we making a mountain out of a molehill? The number 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. I'm Albert Mohler. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler program today, talking about the Floyd Landis doping scandal of the Tour de France and talking about the much larger issue of how Christians should understand sports, achievement, virtue, excellence, character, all of this together. My guest today, C.J. Mahaney of Sovereign Grace Ministries, my dear friend and sports fan. And we talked about just what Floyd Landis said, and you know, C.J.'s word for his response to the accusations was lame. I invited CJ then, when we came back out of the break, right now, to give the speech that Floyd Landis should have given when caught in this scandal. CJ, take it away.
Well, I think Floyd Landis would truly capture both the attention and admiration of all who are following this story if he simply avoided evasive comments, any critique of the testing procedure, and said, I was wrong. I was wrong. I did it. Here's what I did and why I did it. Now, forming that confession, composing that confession, that is the simple part. It's the humility required that would be difficult. But God's word is clear to us all, and this is applicable to us all. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. That's what I would say to him.
That is a profound word, and I think I would only want to add to that that we understand that the conviction of sin is not something that Floyd Landis can even bring about in his own heart.
He cannot.
That indeed that is one of God's gifts to a sinner, is the ability to come to terms with his own sin. That too is God's grace.
Yes, it would be an expression of mercy in his life, but one can only hope that at some point in the future there is someone in these circumstances who has committed an act like this who will be honest about it.
Let's go to Paul, calling from Tampa, Florida, listening on WTBN. Go ahead, Paul.
Afternoon, Dr. Mohler. Just had a quick question, either you or Pastor Mahoney, if you knew what the chances were of achieving a false positive on the test, but I'm wondering if we might not be putting too much faith in the chemical test, and as you know, as opposed to I don't know what the history of this man's integrity is, but comparing those two.
You know, Paul, let me just say right up front, as neither a pharmacologist or a medical doctor, I'm not sure, but I can tell you that just from trying to get as many multiple sources as we could in preparing for this program today, there seems to be a general consensus that the two tests together, independent, are pretty conclusive. CJ, what's your reading on that?
Yeah, well, yes, I wouldn't be qualified to comment on this medically, and I hope one day he could be exonerated, but it appears this is irrefutable evidence.
Yeah, and, you know, the other point that's been made out there in the media is it's the same test that everyone else took, and it is the spectacular out-of-range figure here that has led to this. But, you know, again, we have to hope, just like with any other accusation, we have to hope that the man is innocent. And when Paul asks, is there any chance, you know, I almost have to say, of course, I think there's some chance. You're talking about fallible human beings working on this. But just like in any court of law, at some points, it is the preponderance of evidence that is honestly evaluated that has to lead to this. But, Paul, you know, you remind us, CJ is talking about humility. Paul, you remind us, too, there needs to be a humility even in claiming that we know what's going on here.
Right.
We're talking about how we should frame the issue in terms of thinking as if it did happen.
Yes. And we're talking also, Al, about a pattern, not just Floyd Landis.
That's right. Where in sports it is becoming now irrefutable. By the way, news reports coming out just this week that there may be new legislation, new rules changes, Major League Baseball responding to this, and even criminal charges coming out of this in some other sports. And that's another reminder to us that actions have consequences, and that's really important, too. Let's go to Paris, calling from Tyler, Texas, listening on XM-170. Go ahead, Paris.
Hey, Dr. Miller. One comment, or a couple, actually. I don't want to all jump to conclusions on Floyd quite yet. I have read that this test, every time it was contested by the athlete, that it ended up not being upheld by the Court of Appeals in the sports world. And also, this drug that he supposedly has used is such an old, archaic type of performance-enhancing drug that there would be like 100 other things that an athlete would have used before he would use this type of testosterone. And it just doesn't make sense. And I'm not sure what happened and what Floyd did, obviously, but there's just some things that aren't quite adding up before. And I don't want us to throw the book at Floyd quite until he has his day in court.
Well, you know, Parrish, you raise a good point that that also is the reminder that we have no authority here but to talk about this. We are not the Court of Appeal, and I am certainly not in any way connected to the officials of the Tour de France. And as my friend CJ be the first to point out, I have no business having anything to do with the evaluation of the Tour de France. But at some point, we also have to trust that the structures of accountability here have to work. And, you know, one way or another, if this is the test that's chosen and this is the way the test goes, and, you know, everyone participating in an event like this knows what the rules are, at some point, you simply have to go with where the evidence leads, and we'll see where that goes. CJ, let me ask you another question as we go into this break coming out of this. You have a 13-year-old son. And I know that Chad's really interested in athletics as well. You know, how do you talk to him about something like this?
Well, I've sought to emphasize since Chad was a young boy the priority of character in relation to any sport that he participates in. And so this morning would be an example as he is preparing to go to soccer camp. We take some time prior to leaving, and I talk to him about what it means to glorify God at soccer camp today. So we talk about all that's involved in character, all that's involved in humility, all that's involved in serving diligence, respecting the coaches, honoring the coaches, encouraging the other players, etc. And then I will review that with him when I get home to find out if he sees the many opportunities today to grow in godliness. So sports is an ideal means of growing in godliness when a parent can transfer sound doctrine, can transfer this exhortation to the application of truth to a child's heart and life in the context of playing sports.
I'm going to take advantage of having C.J. Mahaney as my guest today. When we come out of this break, we'll just have some final thoughts. I'm going to shift the subject on him, and we're just going to talk about our concern for the church and maybe even this summer what we've been thinking about and learning about. Stay tuned. This is the Albert Mohler Program. My guest, C.J. Mahaney of Covenant Life Church in Gaithersburg, Maryland, where he was the founding pastor. And our good friend Josh Harris is now serving as pastor of that church, the author of I Kiss Dating Goodbye. C.J. Mahaney is now the president and leader of Sovereign Grace Ministries and my colleague in the ministry Together for the Gospel. We'll be together for a few more moments in just a minute when we come back. This is the Albert Mohler Program. It is always a privilege to have my guest and friend C.J. Mahaney on the program. C.J., what have you been doing this summer? What have you been thinking about? What have you been reading? Just give me an update here.
Well, actually, first, can I just thank you? Thank you for including professional and collegiate sports among the topics that you address. And I was thinking at the break, I've got a recommendation for you that in the future, let's take your show on the road and let's do it live. Let's do it live from various sporting events so that your world-class biblical discernment can be transferred to various sporting events. So how cool would it be if you do your show live from March Madness, live from the Super Bowl, and live from the 2008 Ryder Cup?
CJ, I think we have to do it together because I think what you said when you were applauding my discernment and appreciating it was that that needs to offset my invincible ignorance on these matters. And so maybe being there and seeing it, I would be less ignorant than I would be otherwise.
You would indeed. And in 2008, the Ryder Cup takes place where?
In Louisville, Kentucky, at the Valhalla Golf Club.
Yes.
I think it's providential, CJ.
I believe so, too, Al, and I'm glad you're perceiving that. Look, get tickets. You, me, get tickets for Mark and Lig. We can be together for the gospel at the Ryder Cup. How unique would that be?
You know,
the Ryder Cup needs the gospel. Let us go to the Ryder Cup and be there together for the gospel, and then you can do your show there, and I can be like your on-course reporter. So how cool would that be?
It would be really cool, CJ, and if at any point you ever need to go into sales, you've got an incredible future.
Listen, even if you don't do your show live there, can you get me tickets?
Yeah, I'm working on that, CJ.
Can you get me tickets, please? All right, thank you.
CJ,
what have I been doing this summer? Well, I'm just back from an exceptional 2 weeks of vacation with my family. So I actually have the challenge now of finding fresh and new motivation, having enjoyed that time away so much with my family.
Well, one of the things I enjoy about my friendship with C.J. Mahaney is that he introduces me to things I otherwise would not know. And the John Feierstein books on sports, he had me reading, and I actually read them. And CJ and I love to talk books, but more than anything else, we love to talk about the gospel. That's why, along with our friends Lig Duncan and Mark Dever, we are together for the gospel. And it has been great to be together on this radio program today. CJ, thanks so much for joining me. Please say hello to Carolyn, Chad, and all the gang at Sovereign Grace Ministries and at Covenant Life.
Very good. Please greet Mary for me, if you will. By the way, one other show recommendation. The next couple weeks, have Mary on to do 3 segments on biblical femininity, and then 2, giving her preseason picks. Her preseason Division I college football picks, because I know no one who knows as much about college football as your wife.
You know,
so
indeed.
Would that not be a ratings breaking show?
It would break the ratings. And I'm going to leave it at that. This is the Albert Mohler Program. Thanks to CJ Mahaney. Folks, thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow for Ask Anything Wednesday. You get ready to make the call.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.